Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Matthew chapter 25, and I'd like just to read one or two verses to you. We're considering the words that the King, that is the Lord Jesus, says unto all the assembly of his people that will be gathered around him when he returns. Verse 34 of Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Let me just say something that I don't think we have said up to now, just by way of opening remarks. I've stressed to you many times, we must always note every word. And I'm thinking of that word, then. Then shall the King say. He won't have said these words before. What he says here, he has not said, and won't say, until the day when he comes again. Now what is it he says? He's saying to his redeemed, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. And we can conclude from that those who have believed in the Lord Jesus, who died in faith, who have gone to heaven, have not yet entered into the fullness of what God has for them. Do you understand that? Those who are in heaven at this moment, we tend to sort of forget these little matters. But those who have gone to heaven and are in heaven now at this moment, Adam, David, Moses, Paul, Peter, all the saints of God, loved ones of our own who, not that long ago, left this scene of time and went to heaven. They have not yet entered into this inheritance that is spoken of here. Which means that all of God's people, from all ages, will together, enter into this inheritance. And we can see a picture of that in the days of Joshua, when all of the Hebrews, all of the Israelites, entered into the earthly inheritance that God had for them in Canaan. Together. They didn't cross the Jordan in dribs and drabs. They didn't stop at the other side of the Jordan and some say, I think I'll go over today and enter the promised land. And others say, no, I'm going to sit here for a while and wait. No, that's not how it happened. They were out of Egypt. They had enjoyed much by way of God's blessing throughout their journey to the border of the promised land. But together, all of them together, crossed the Jordan and into the inheritance. And there's a picture of what is happening here. So the saints of God in heaven at this moment have not entered into the inheritance spoken of here. And they won't until you are there with them. We're all going to go together and embrace and enter in and experience the fullness of God's blessing. Oh, the saints in heaven are enjoying much. In fact, we can't even imagine the joy that they are presently experiencing. But great and all as that joy may be, there's greater still ahead for them. When we and they together, when the Savior returns, are invited to enter into the inheritance. So, verse 34, we'll continue our reading. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. I told you, and tried very hard to stress this, that what the Savior is saying here is not, and I repeat that, what he is saying here is not that the righteous are getting into heaven, getting into the inheritance that has been prepared for them from the foundation of the world because of their works. No, you don't get to heaven by your works. There was nobody worked harder for the Lord than Paul the Apostle. Nobody worked harder. I was just reading, actually in my Bible reading this morning, where Paul, writing to the Corinthians, a second letter, because he was being criticized by some within that church and belittled. That happens, you know. It's amazing that anybody would dare open their mouth and make little of a man like Paul the Apostle. But believe me, that spirit is to be found among Christians. Made out that he was nothing, nobody special, never had done anything. And Paul was defending himself, most reluctantly. He actually said, I'm a fool to even take up the subject and defend myself and tell you of some of the things that the Lord has enabled me to do. He says, I feel a fool talking to you about this. But he says, I'm not the least of all the apostles. He says, actually, in labours, I have done more than them all. And that's correct. Paul laboured as an apostle more than any of the other apostles, suffered more. We could go down the whole catalogue of the accomplishments of Paul, but we'll not take time to do that. If you would like to read it, you can look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And he sets out in detail there, because he's forced to do it. When you're slandered, you know, when you're belittled, when you're criticized unfairly, unjustly, there comes a time when you do have to stand up for yourself. Because if you don't stand up for yourself, then you appear to be saying, by your silence, all these criticisms about me are right, and I have no answer to them. And that would be very wrong. You see, the Lord Jesus at times was silent. There were times when he didn't answer Pilate. There were times when he didn't answer the high priests, etc. But there were times when he did. Particularly when they said to him, are you Christ? Now, if the Lord Jesus had not answered, what would they have done? They would have said, there you are. See, he's not the Christ. He couldn't answer us. He had remained silent when they laid all sorts of false accusations against him. He just stood there in silence. But when they said, are you the Christ? He answered. Because he couldn't, by his silence, give the impression that he wasn't the Christ. Oh, that would be very wrong. So he speaks very plainly and says, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And Paul was doing the same, you see. He was speaking out in his own defense when, had he stayed silent, he would have given the impression that all the criticism against him was true. Was true. Now, having said that, having told to you that Paul was, of all men, more engaged in the labours for Christ, he also said that we're not saved by works. Not by works, he says, lest any man should boast. No, the Lord Jesus is not saying here to these people, come ye into the inheritance prepared by my Father from all eternity, because you have earned it. No. But rather, what he is saying is that your life, your works in your life, showed that you were really saved. And being really saved through faith in me, come into the inheritance. Come into the inheritance. I want to strive to emphasize that, because I don't want anyone for a moment to think that we get to heaven by our works. The Savior says, I was anhungered, verse 35, I was anhungered and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came unto me. Now, you will see in the verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? They had no consciousness of ever having done any of these things that the Lord Jesus is now saying they did. Now, when did we do that? And the Savior answers them. Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I want you to notice this. The main feature, the chief mark of a real Christian, is that they live for Jesus Christ. They live for Jesus Christ. The Savior says here unto these people, I was anhungered, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me. And time again he repeats those words, or similar words. ye did for me. Boys and girls, let me stress this to you today. If you are a Christian, then living for the Lord Jesus is everything. Paul the Apostle, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, and you will remember, I hope, these words, he said, "For me to live is Christ." That's a simple little statement. For me to live is Christ. What is my life? Christ. What are my interests? Christ. What am I thinking about all the time? Christ. That's how it ought to be with a Christian. When we speak, when we act, we do so ever with Christ, his honor, his glory in mind. So that at all times and in all things, we are advancing his cause. Not in any way bringing shame upon him, but in all things, advancing his cause. That is how Christians ought to live, to glorify the Lord Jesus. Those of you who have learned anything of the Shorter Catechism will know that man's chief end, and you know what that means, man's chief purpose in life, man's chief reason for living, man's chief end is to glorify God. You're here in this school, and the labor of the teachers in this school is not to get you a good job. We hope you do get one, but that's not what the labors of the teachers are all about. Oh, we want to give you a good education. We want to teach you as much as we can about God's great creation and the principles that are to be found at work within his creation. That's what each subject is all about, you know. It's breaking down, as it were, the fabric of God's creation and seeing what it consists of. There are those who examine human bodies, parts of human bodies, the heart, and they'll dissect the heart, and they'll look at the muscles of the heart, and the arteries that are in the heart, and they'll examine all these things and see how they work together. In school, what we do is dissect, as it were, God's creation. And we learn how God, in his wonderful sovereignty, works out his purpose within creation. When you take up the study of electricity, that's part of God's creation. When you go out on your field trip, pursuing the study of geography, you're looking at what God has instituted within his creation. Language? Yes. God has instituted language. When he made Adam, he could speak. God has instituted that how we speak is governed by certain laws, so that we conform to the laws of grammar. We don't use future tense or past tense when we ought to be speaking in the present tense. I must confess, I'm no grammarian. I never was a person that ever could follow too closely all those laws about nouns and verbs and adverbs and all the rest. But I'm very thankful. While I can't, as it were, read the music book of the laws of grammar, I know the tune. And if somebody goes outside the laws of grammar, I might be able to say what they've done is, and they have violated this law. I might be able to say that, but I'll say this. They've just stepped outside the tune. That didn't sound right. Nice to have an ear for grammar, so that you don't use words that are out of place. So, education is all about understanding what God has instituted in this world. His creation. And this school is here to teach you about what God has instituted. It's not in order that you might get a good job. We hope you will. The school will do its best to give you an education whereby you will be able to get a good job. But getting a good job is not the chief purpose of the school, because that's not the chief purpose of our life. The chief purpose of our life, no matter what job we hold, is to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell each one of you, you young men, soon to go out into employment, you might be offered a job that entailed working on the Lord's Day. A lot of money offered to do that. You young lassies to see it. But you've got to say, well, what is my purpose? What is God's will for me? Make a lot of money? No. God's will for me is that I honor his law in all things. And I'm not going to desecrate his day in order to get a lot of money. And I could stand here, I suppose, for the rest of the day, if I was allowed, and give you examples of the sort of work you shouldn't get involved in. You can't get involved in the production of that which is wicked. You can't go work in a whiskey factory or a beer factory. You know that, because that would be contrary to the will of God for your life. And living to the honour and glory of God is the whole purpose of God for us. And that's why we hear the Lord saying, ye did this for me, ye did that for me, ye did the other thing for me, to this group of believers. And because they have done this, he says, come in. I claim the reward that is yours. Now, there's a watchfulness for the name, for the honour of the Lord Jesus to be seen in the lives of these people. Did you notice in the verse that I read to you there, the verse 37, then shall the righteous say, when? They didn't have a consciousness of doing these things. What can that possibly mean? Well, it means simply this. They instinctively lived for the Lord. Unconsciously, they lived for the Lord. Without any requirement of deep thought or consideration, they acted for the honour of the Lord. Let me illustrate what I'm saying. At this moment, you are doing a lot of things you don't even know you're doing. If you were to put your hand about there on your chest, you find that in there, there's a little instrument. It's called your heart, beating away. And you never think about it. You don't get up in the morning and say, start beating, please, hurry up. When you're sleeping, it's still beating away. Circulating the blood through your body, keeping you alive. What's more, in the very center of your chest, there are your lungs. And they're drawing in air, filtering the oxygen from the air, and then expelling carbon dioxide. You didn't know that, did you? You're doing it all the time. You never have to think about it. Well, in a similar fashion, boys and girls, if you're saved, then without ever having to think about it, you're always doing that which is pleasing to the Lord. His honour, His glory, His name, it comes before you, and you're pursuing that all the time. All the time. That's how it is. And that's what the Saviour is saying here. The people to whom the Lord has just spoken and said these wonderful things, they said, when did we do this, Lord? We didn't realise that we were doing this. When did we do this? And boys and girls, notice how the Lord answered that. Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Time's really gone, so I'm not going to go any further with that, because there's a lot of things I'd like to say. But here's the thing. Today, you'll not have an opportunity to actually feed the Lord, or clothe the Lord, or visit Him in sickness or in prison. You'll not have an opportunity of doing that. But you will have an opportunity of doing that which He will look upon as being equal to doing something for Him when you act toward another Christian kindly, lovingly, and gently. And if you say a gentle word, a loving word, a tender word to another Christian in this school, if you do that today, in heaven the Lord will write it down as an act of love toward Him. You did it for His sake. Do you understand? Do you understand? Keep your eyes on Jesus. We are told that we ought to run the race with our eyes on Jesus Christ. Everything we do, everything we say it with your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That will keep you from doing what's wrong. God have mercy on us and fill our gaze with the Saviour. We'll leave it there. We're going to come back to it again at the end of the week in the will of the Lord. Look a little further and get more evidence and greater instruction from God's Word regarding this matter. Let's bow in prayer, please. O God, our Heavenly Father, bless the young ones here today, each one of the age groups. O God, there's not one of us here today, no matter what our age, but we need understanding of these matters. Help us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and count everything outside of Him as nothing. Bless the school. Bless the teachers, the pupils, the parents. And, O God, cause this work to flourish, we pray, to the glory of Thy name. O
Help us ever to have that purpose in our mind when we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.